Good morning, Grace. Happy to see everyone here this morning. Glad you could join us. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith, pastor here at Grace Community Church. If you are new here this week, I just want to say welcome. Thank you for joining us. If you look around at the people around you, welcome to a bunch of messed up people who love you to death. So that is who we are, and we don't run from that. And we do not come in here going, we are perfection, because we're not. We're just a bunch of people who are broken and know we need Jesus' love. And know without it, we're incomplete. So welcome to Grace Community Church. Welcome to this family. We're happy you could join us today. And for everyone else who comes every week, we love you guys too. We're glad you're here. So we are continuing on our sermon series today. And it is actually the last week of this sermon series called Not a Fan. And this sermon series has been, for me, as a preacher, a very difficult one because it's been a challenging one. It has been challenging because I've had to put forth challenges to you, but it's been challenging because every time I do another sermon, God's challenging me. And so that's tough when you're again up here going, let me tell you what God says, and I'm struggling with it too. That's tough to do. But it's a good sermon series, I think, because it really asks this question, are you a fan or are you a follower of Jesus? Are we just here because we like how God makes us feel and we go, I like kind of knowing Jesus is on my side? Or do we really want to follow him with our lives? Do we really want to make this who we are? Not just people who admire God, but people who are so deeply in love with God that he rules our life in every aspect and that we have a personal relationship with him every day. And so this week we are finishing this sermon series, Not a Fan, and we're kind of finishing it up with this one question. And this one question is, Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough for everything? Do we need anything more than that? Do we want anything more than that? Is there anything that comes before him? Is Jesus enough for every aspect of our life, for all we need, for our daily sustenance? Is he enough for our life? And that question can seem like an easy one to go, yeah, I think Jesus is enough. It's another thing to rely on him in every situation. It's another thing to recognize, I need him in every situation. And so this question, is Jesus enough, is one that we have to ask individually in our hearts, corporately, as a church, together. And it's something that Jesus talked about over and over. If you remember our first sermon we gave with fan or follower, we mentioned very briefly in there a story about Jesus when he was had the crowds around him and was teaching to them, and when he started talking about going, people saying, we're hungry. And that story we just gave a quick glimpse, but today we're going to go into it a little deeper to really grab some stuff out of there and see what it means to follow Jesus, but then to answer the question, is he enough for everything? So we're going to start that story, and it starts in John chapter 6, and it's most of the book, or most of that chapter, chapter 6 in John, but we're going to start out in verse 5, and this is what it says. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good is that with this huge crowd? So Jesus is sitting there. He's talking to this huge crowd. It says there's at least 5,000 men, so it's assumed there's about 15,000 people following him. Right, so there's this crowd following Jesus around. This is at the height of his ministry, where he's been doing miracles. People have been being healed. They've seen these signs and wonders, and people are starting to flock to him going, there's something special going on here. We like this guy. This is pretty neat. Let's follow him around and see what else he does. Let's see who he heals. Let's see what miracles happen. And so they're following him around, and as you're following him around, if you have little villages and stuff that you're going through, they're not equipped to handle 15,000 people, right? That'd be like when Woodstock all of a sudden had 100,000 people show up and they're like, we don't know what to do. It would be overwhelming. And so they're to this point, they've been following him and they're getting hungry. They're getting hungry and they're going, what the heck's going on? We need to eat, but there's not food. And Jesus says, well, how are we going to feed them? And so you have Andrew say, you know, I don't know how, but there's this kid that has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He's got food we can probably eat. We might have enough for us to nibble on, right? But how? What good is that going to do for everyone else? What good is that with this huge crowd? This is a question that we can start looking at and going, I know a lot of times in my life, I sit there and go, God, I see this huge issue. I don't see how it can be solved. I've got this struggle in my life. I don't see how you can fix it, God. I don't know how this is going to happen because all I see is I've got these financial burdens or I've got these health issues and all I've got is this, and that's not going to be enough to get me through it. And it really boils down to this question of how can God use something so small for something so great? How can God take something in my life that seems pretty insignificant to do something amazing with? And there's lots of times in my life where I feel inadequate. When Bernie first asked me to be lead pastor of this church, my answer was, and I told him straight up, I said, Bernie, I'm not ready. He said, no, you're not. Isn't it beautiful? And he was honest. He's like, you're not ready. And if you would have said you're ready, I would have went, what, maybe I've made a mistake. You're not ready, he said. But God is. Do you trust God enough to be enough for your problems? Do you trust God enough to be your strength? Do you trust God enough to carry you through? I sat there and had this question in my heart. How can God use something so small, me, a broken person who struggles in life myself, to do something so great of trying to spread his word to other people, of trying to help us grow together? It really, this question came down to, how can God use me? How can God use me when I know me? I'm sure many of you have had the same question at some point or continuously in your life. How can God use me? I know the me inside. I know what's hidden in my heart. How can God use me for something so great that he wants? And this question is something that has plagued, I think, humanity forever. How can I do this when I'm not strong enough? When I'm not enough? How do I do this? And the question goes back to, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough not just to solve your problems, but is it Jesus enough to go, despite your problems, Jesus can overcome it? Despite your brokenness, God can find a way to use you for something amazing. And using you for something amazing doesn't mean I become the first person to go to Mars or I become the most amazing musician. Making you something great means that you have a great relationship with God and you share that love with others around you. Because all the rest of it, honestly, it doesn't matter. I love my life. I love this world we live in. I love the beauty of it. But what I found is if it's without God, it's just junk. It is. Is God enough to take care of everything? Well, we see in this story that Jesus takes the bread, he takes the fish, he blesses it, breaks it apart, and by time they start spreading it out, they've got so much surplus afterwards, no one needs to worry about eating. And somehow, 5 loaves and 2 fish feed 15,000 people with leftover. That's what we know as it's called a miracle, right? That's a miracle. It's not possible. There's no way physically for that to happen. But with God, Jesus is enough. When we sit there and go, Jesus is enough to do it all. So he feeds the crowd. And they're hanging out and they're amazed. Like, how did this just happen? Think of it as what his disciples are seeing going, holy cow. You just fed 15,000 people with this kid's lunch. And I don't even know if he got any, right? Kids probably sitting there going, dude, they took my lunch. But it was enough. Jesus is enough. And so after this happens, Jesus is getting a little tired of the crowd. And he goes, I'm going across. Going across the other side, I'm going to take a break. And when people woke up in the morning, they went, whoa, where is he? What's going on? And they realized where he'd went, realized where the disciples were, and started following him. So it says in verses 25, they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understand the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. Think of those words. Jesus said, you're here because you like to see what's going on. You're here because you like the miracles. You like the show. But why are you focused on these things? Think about it. They're probably going again like, hey, we walked all the way to come see you. Let's get some food again, huh? This was a good idea. It worked out well last time. He's like, why are you worried about that? You're missing the point of everything. You're so focused on what happened that you're not seeing why it happened. You're not seeing who it happened through. Quit worrying about things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I can give you. And this is something I think that we really need to make sure we understand. We need to place our focus on God. On God. We need to spend our energy, spend our thoughts, spend our time focused on God in every way. Now, there's different ways this can look, but it means spending time in prayer, spending time reading the Bible so you understand it. Not to know the Bible. Knowing the Bible means nothing if you don't go, I want it because I want to change my life. I want God to be in my life more. Knowledge means nothing unless it's in your heart. So we need to place our focus on God in all things. Place our focus in God at all times. He needs to be above everything else. We talked before about going, nothing can be above God. God has to be first, and then all the rest of it happens. And Jesus was saying, you're spending your time thinking about food, not about eternal life. And I think a lot of times we do that same thing. We spend a lot of our time working on different stuff. You know, if you start thinking, where do I spend my time? Is it focused on God? Is it focused on a relationship with God? Or is it focused on the perishable things of this world? Where do you spend the majority of your time? Is it thinking about work? Is it thinking about how I need to get through the day and get my job done? Or how much I don't like being there, but I have to get my job done? Do you spend time on possessions? Do you spend time on things you can own, of toys, of going, man, I want a four-wheeler. It's going to snow soon. A snowmobile would be nice. I don't own a snowmobile because I don't want it to snow. And I figure if I don't own one, we have a better chance. It's a bad plan, but I think it may work someday. Do we focus on our possessions? Do we focus on sports? Do we focus on music? What do you focus on in your life that you spend your time in? Is it fantasy football? Now, I will say with fantasy football, there's a lot of prayer involved there. So, that one may be okay. Sue. Me and Sue will talk after service. But focusing your energy on God doesn't just mean, oh, I just think about God. Oh, I kind of recognize he's there. I like what he's done. Focusing on God means I want God to be in my life. I want he to be the center of everything else that I do. I want my focus to be around him in all things. It means I want to do what Jesus is doing. I want to be a part of what he's doing in my life and in the lives of those around me. I want to be part of him. I want him to be in me. So as Jesus is talking to the people there, and as he's telling him these things of saying, you need to not worry about this stuff. You need to look at me. You need to focus on me. People are seeing the miracles he's doing, and they're saying, you know what? Look, so if that's the way it is, what does God want to do? How can I be a part of what's going on here? And they say it in a very specific way in John 6, verse 28 and 29. They replied, we want to perform God's work too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. God doesn't need you to perform miracles. God doesn't need you to do anything to be like, I served enough or I did this enough. God doesn't need us for stuff to happen. God says, you know what I want from you? You know what's most important? Believe in the one that's been sent. Believe in Jesus Christ. Have faith in him. That's the most important thing you can do, because guess what? Everything else comes out of that. It's not I can do A, B, C, D, and God's proud of me. It's if I don't have a relationship with him, A, B, C, and D don't matter. And if I want A, B, and C to happen, if I have a relationship with God, he's going to do the work inside of me. He's going to change me. I don't need to change for God. I need to let him change me. Believe in the one, and the one he has sent. And so the question to us is, do you really believe? If you really, really believe in Jesus Christ, if you really believe in God, if you really believe that the Creator of heaven came down to have relationships with people on earth, to die for us, to wipe away our sins so that we could spend this time in this world and in the next life with him for all eternity. If you really believe that, how can we live any other way than have him at the center of everything? Do you really believe in Jesus? And if you really believe in him, and you really believe the words he spoke, then having a relationship with him will change everything around you. Because now you realize it's not about work. It's not about possessions. It's not about any of these stuff that I sometimes waste my time on. It's about a relationship with God. And out of that, all those other things get taken care of and get done in a way that God, that glorifies God in all we do. All those things will still happen. But now God's at the center of it. It's not about me or you. It's about glory to our Father in heaven. And Jesus said to them, right after this, I've said, believe in the one whom he has sent. He said, you guys, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He said, quit worrying about what you're going to get today in food. You need me. You need me. I'm the bread of life. Take me, you won't be hungry. Take me, you'll never be thirsty, because everything else will come in around me, and I'll never run out. I'll never leave you alone. I'll never leave you empty. And so the question becomes, what are you really hungry for? What are we really hungry for in this world? Are we really hungry sitting there going, I really want this stuff? Or I really want people to like me? Or I really want to do well at my job so I get that promotion so I have a little more authority? What are you really hungry for? Where do you put your time? Where do you put your energy? If it's any of those things, all those things fail. And you have no control over it. All those things are of this world. But he says, if you're hungry for me, I never run out. I'm always true. I'm always faithful. I will always be there for you. I'm God. So what are you really hungry for? The question is, are you really hungry for a relationship? Because that's what God says. All these works, they don't matter without me. All these things, what do I want you to do? Believe in the one that the Father sent. Believe in me. I have a seal of approval. I'm the Son of God. Believe in me. Believe what I say. Believe what I do. And believe that it's all because of you. I do it for you. Are you really hungry for a relationship with God? A relationship that every single day you have a focus on Him. I think something we can sometimes forget is that God says, I don't want you to have a relationship with me, just want it because. I want you to have a relationship with me because I'm the only way. I'm it. I'm the only way for you to be healed, for you to be complete, for you to spend eternity with me. I'm the only way. He said in Matthew chapter 7, he said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Only a few find it. Recognize, Jesus was talking to a people that understood what it meant to have sheep. They were herders. They were farmers. They understood this. And he's saying, look, just like in a pasture, you enter through a narrow gate because the gates for pastures were very small. There's one way in, there's one way out. This is all there is. If you want in and you want to live within the safety of this, this is the way you come in. And Jesus says, if you want to live in the safety of me, if you want to have a full life in the safety of God, if you want a relationship and be in the presence of God, there's one way in. There's one way to have that. That's through Jesus Christ. See, I think a lot of the times we sit there and think about that story, the narrow gate and the wide path, and we go, oh yeah, like there's this little narrow road I can take or a big wide road I can take, right? And the narrow road is going to be very difficult. It's going to be a winding path. And so if I want to follow Jesus, it's going to be so tough to go down that little path. But this road's so much easier. It's really understanding the mentality of what it meant to be a shepherd and have sheep. And these people will have understood that, saying, look, anywhere else you go, it's destruction. There's roads, there's paths everywhere, there's big gates to all this stuff, anywhere you go. But if you want to have a complete life, this is the only area it is. It's in God. This is the only way in, is through this gate. And it's narrow, it's small. I'm the only way in. As I've continued to grow older and hopefully a little wiser, not always, but a little bit, as I continue to have that, I'm recognizing more and more, in my youth, okay, because I don't have youth anymore, but in my youth, I very much pictured it as going, I had two choices. I could follow God, and now I have to live within this set of boundaries, or I could do what I want, and life was more fun the way I saw it. And there were many times I went, I'll do what I want. It'll be more fun. Sometimes it was very fun. It always ended poorly, every single time. Most of my stories come from poor decisions. But as I'm getting older, I'm recognizing something. I didn't understand what it meant to have a full life. I thought it was fun and all this stuff or Jesus. And as I'm growing older, I'm recognizing the most complete life I can have, the most joy I can have, the most beauty I can see, the most enjoyment I can get from this world is when it's within God. The more I live within, he set up and said, this is the way I created you to be with me. Live within this. Guess what? The world's yours. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I want you to enjoy it. I created it for your pleasure. I created it, put you in and said, enjoy it. Enjoy this world. But enjoy it in the way I created for you to enjoy it. Outside of that, only lead to destruction in your life. Outside of that, anything outside of me, it doesn't go right. You need to be in a relationship with me to have it work correctly. And I understand more and more, if I go in through that narrow gate, which is Jesus Christ, within that, his walls, there's so much freedom, right? It's just like a teenager. If you've got a teenager and you say, look, if I tell you to be home by 10 and you show up at 10:30, you lose your driving privileges. You lose these things. Why? Because now there's not a trust. Now I'm worried about you, all these things. But if you follow the rules, there's so much freedom for you. I want you to enjoy life. I want you to grow and mature. I want you to be able to have your freedom. I want you to have it, but only within where it's set up to be, in the safety. That's what God does with us. He says, look, this is where it needs to be. Come in through me. Enter that small gate. Be in my presence. Let me be enough to fill everything else in your life. That's an amazing thing when we do. It changes us. It changes us. So Jesus is talking to the people there. He's talking to this crowd of 15,000 people. And they're listening to what he's saying. He's the bread. I've got to eat his body. I've got to drink his blood. Don't worry about food. He's my all in all. They're hearing all these things and they're saying, this is really hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? How can anyone live this way? I'm hungry. I need food now. We're following you and you're dissing us because we like your miracles? How is this our fault? And they didn't get what he was saying, that you don't get it. It's not about that. It's about me, a relationship with me. So it says, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. The crowd started to disperse. They're like, this is too tough. We need food. This is too tough. He asks too much. It must have been a tough moment for Jesus. It must have been a tough moment for Jesus. And honestly, it must have broken his heart. And I think about it and read about that this great way to understand it. Think of it like dating. When you first go on a first date with someone, right? And if I took someone on a first date, not now because I'm married, but back to the youth, I took someone on a date, and we went out, and I took her to dinner. And we enjoyed each other's company and said, that went well, we should do this again. And so the next day, I say, hey, let's go to a movie. So we go to a movie and catch ice cream afterwards, and I get movie tickets and do ice cream. We keep doing this for a while. And then one day, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take you out to the lake, and we're just going to sit there by the lake, and we're going to talk. And I bring her to the lake, and we just talk. And I pour my heart out. I pour my soul out. And at the end of it, if she goes, what are we going to do though? And you sit and go, what do you mean? We're spending time together. And she's like, I thought you were going to take me somewhere. I thought you were going to do something for me. This is must have been how Jesus felt. He's sitting there and he's doing this and doing that, taking care of him. And all of a sudden he says, it's not about all that stuff. Let me share my heart with you. It's about having a relationship with me. It's about realizing that I'm enough, that God's enough, that us in your life will make you full and complete. You'll never be hungry or thirsty. You'll have eternal life. And the people sat there and went, yeah, but when are you going to do stuff for us again? He just poured his heart out. And the crowds disperse. And they sit there and go, this is too tough. It's not what I was signed up for. And it must have broken his heart. It must have hurt. Yet Jesus says, if you want to follow me, this is what it takes. It takes putting me before everything else. And it's you recognizing that I'm enough for all your needs. See, one of the big things is of a fan versus a follower is when you follow Jesus, you don't want to leave him. When you follow Jesus, it's not when times get tough, I turn away. When I follow Jesus, when times get tough, I go right to the center. I go right to God because I know he's the only thing that will carry me through. If I turn to anything else, it will fail me. But if I turn to God, he is enough for everything else. Despite what's going on, it doesn't mean it removes it. It means while it's going on, He's my shelter in the storm. He's my rock and my foundation. He is there and solid, and he's unmoving because he's God, no matter what else happens around me. When you follow Jesus, you don't want to leave him. Honestly, fans will bail when teachings get difficult. And if we're in church here, my goal and my hope for us is that every one of us becomes a follower, true and through, every bit of us, to know what it means to follow God with all our hearts. And when I teach something difficult, it's not my words going, here's what Kelly thinks we should do. I'm just going to share what Jesus, what God told us we should do. When those get difficult, fans will leave. Because going, I don't want to give that up. I don't want God to be above that because I really like that. I like who he is, but I don't want to follow him like that. Followers are all in. Followers are all in every aspect, saying, God, no matter what it is, no matter what you want, I'm in. Not because it's what I want right now even, but it's because what you said is best for me. What you said is right. What you said is true and holy and perfect. Followers are all in. And all in followers will still mess up. Peter was all in. He's like, I'm here for you, God. Even after the crowds dispersed, I've got your back. I'm here. Even Peter denied Christ three times. Three times. Through Christ's worst time in his life on the face of the earth, separating him, being beaten, all these things, Peter denied him. Did that mean that God was done with Peter? No. It means he just had work still to do in his life. And every one of us, if you're a follower, it doesn't mean you're perfect. Followers aren't perfect people. Followers just recognize God's perfection and want to be a part of it. Followers recognize, I am messed up, but God, you are perfect in every way. And as a church, we have to decide, do we want to follow God with our life every single day? This sermon series has been great, but honestly, if you're like, that just made me feel good, but it doesn't make us want to just lean more into him, is it all for nothing? We have to decide, do we follow God with our lives every day? Is Christ enough for me? And the reality is, you have to decide that. Every single one of you. Can't be based on what your spouse thinks, what your kids thinks, what your parents think, what your friends think. It has to be you deciding, is this what I want in my life? Do I want to be a fan or a follower? Do I want to just admire God? Or do I want to recognize Jesus is enough for everything in this world? And he's enough for me. And I want him in my life every single day. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we come to you this morning recognizing our brokenness, God. Recognizing we can't do this alone. Lord, I pray, God, that we would recognize that you are enough for every moment. That you are enough for every situation. That you are enough for all. For any problem in this world, for any hurt in our heart, for any brokenness inside us, God, if we lean on you, if we follow you, if we give you our life, you're enough. Not just enough in the way of like, okay, I guess that'll work. God, you're enough for everything. You're so full and complete. Lord, I pray, we've been going through this, God, I pray that it's not just the blip on the radar. That we don't just say, that was nice, and I like that following idea. But that we embrace you, God. That our hearts are changed. That we don't see this world as just Jesus is in it and part of it, but that you are everything in it. you are our everything, that our world is built around you. And that we turn to you, we lean on you. God, that we follow you. God, thank you for being more than we deserve, and yet choosing to love us anyways. I pray we can show you even a fraction of that love you show us, God.